Thank you. I've carried a burden too long on my own, and I wasn't created to bear it alone. And I hear your invitation to let it all go, and I see redemption for the price of my heart. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend, and I know that I need you. I'll run to the Father, no reason.
altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Behind your regrets and mistakes, come today, there's no reason to wait, 'cause Jesus is calling. From your sorrows and trade them for joy, from the ashes a new life is born, Jesus is calling. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Great. Business being in, the Lord's mercy reached down and he picked you up. The Bible says he picked us up out of the miry clay and he set our feet upon a rock. And so, Father, we just thank you today. Come on, let's lift up our voices. Father, we thank you today for your mercy that has set us free. We thank you for your mercy that has rescued us. We thank you, Lord, for when you picked us up out of the miry clay, for when you put us on a firm foundation. We thank you for the rock whose name is Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. We thank you, Jesus, for the plans you have for us, that you're not done with us yet, God. We thank you, Lord, for what you have in store, that there is more. There is more because your mercy is more. Your mercy is greater than anything that we could ever do. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing that chorus one more time. His mercy is more. As we think about that, just sing it from your heart. Sing it thinking about those times when he rescued you. His mercy is more. Hallelujah.
Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Darkness new every morn. Our sins they are many. His mercy is more. Our sins they are many. His mercy is more. Oh, our sins they are many.
Opportunity to be in your presence, to seek your face, to receive your mercy today. Father, we ask that you would continue to move in our midst in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. We're glad you're with us today. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us. If this is your first time with us, please join us in the foyer after the service and stop by the Welcome Center. We'd like to give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or the description box. And one quick announcement. Today is the final day of our baby bottle campaign. If you've been participating in that, thank you. If you haven't yet brought back your bottles, please bring them back as soon as possible, either this Wednesday or next Sunday. And we've also made that available to you in Push Pay. You can scroll down to Baby Bottle Campaign if you prefer to give that way. That'll be up there for just a couple days to give you enough time to do that if you'd like. And at this time, we'll welcome you to come forward to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Show the way. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. Was my death to pay? To the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name.
Hallelujah. Everybody good? Amen. Aren't you glad he came? Amen. Well, today is show and tell day. Did you used to like show and tell in school? That was my favorite day. Hallelujah. So Bonnie and I have two daughters, and I have hundreds of sons, and I have three of those who are going to join me now and are going to help me give you an opportunity to see how God has humbled me by ministering internationally. Pastor Wallace has given me this opportunity to share with you today about the mission work that I've been involved in since 2015, and it just changed my life forever. I mean, I have served the Lord faithfully for a long, long time, but when I got a chance to really just step out into a realm that I never imagined I'd be, things just changed tremendously. I had preached all around and seen many saved, and had been able to minister for years and was very pleased where I was. But God was not through stretching me. And I want to challenge you today to be ready to be stretched. Because I've got a stretching word, but I got a stretch with some stretching testimonies. Now, over the years, I've taken these boys from the ocean to the mountains, from the rivers to the woods. We've hunted, we've fished, we've camped, we've canoed, we've kayaked, we've whitewater rafted. We've been to the top of mountains and to the depths of the earth. But nothing. I've led them to the Lord around campfires. I've baptized them in the river. But nothing has given me more pleasure and more honor than taking them to the field. And these boys have been to the field and are going to the field. But they're men. They've grown up. I'm going to let you come up here first, Austin. We've had a long time together. We started a long time ago with a lot of history. Austin was the first young man that I ever carried out internationally. You went in 2016. Yes, sir. To Maua, Kenya. And I'm going to give Austin a chance to just share a little bit. And I want you to tell them before you left what you were thinking things were going to be like. What you found, and then that night in Maua on the crusade grounds. Can you do that?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Like Pastor was sharing, my name is Austin. I was able to take a trip to Maua, Kenya. 10-day trip. I was assigned to Pastor Waters' team in the schools. My primary role was to film the event, so we would go to some schools that had 20 students in it. We'd go to some schools that had over 200. We did a lot of a lot of schools. We did a lot of crusade grounds. The final trip, I believe there were 75,000 that came forward and confessed Jesus as Savior. So to be a part of that team, even as a sophomore going into my junior year of high school, was incredible. The coming months preparing before to go, I spent time doing fundraisers. We were able to plant a well in one of the communities. That one well, you know, not only serves that one community, but several communities around. It was truly a bigger than yourself kind of moment to be able to be a part of that. Going into it, it's never what you think it's going to be, and that's putting it lightly. Going into the trip, I really had to break into myself and concentrate myself and make sure that I was as in tune as I could be before we went, and just go in there. There wasn't a single day, a single hour that just didn't overwhelm and just blow my mind, from people that we met in the airports to, you know, layovers in places like London and Switzerland. I mean, it's just from the second we stepped foot into the airport in Norfolk, I mean, that's when it started, and it didn't stop until we got back home. It was just overwhelming in every sense. Like Pastor was sharing, I mean, we've known each other for a very long time. When I was, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, I remember going to his house, and we had church in the living room. And, you know, I was right there as the church was being built there in Linton. And, you know, I've been camping, I've been fishing, I've taken trips to the mountains and the beach. And, I mean, I was right there with a lot of the trips that Pastor took, a lot of us young guys on. And I'm by far better for it. Okay. So one of the many people that I prayed for while we were there at the crusade ground was a woman, and I kick myself for it now. I can't remember her name, but she had come up to me, and she said that she was having some deafness in her ear, and said it had been like that forever. She wasn't born like that, but just for several years, most of her adult life, she just couldn't hear. So I laid hands on her, I prayed for her, and within seconds, her hearing was restored. Another woman came up with me who was having trouble conceiving. She wanted a baby. Her and her husband were just longing for a child, and she asked me to pray for her, and I did. And that's one of those things. I'm still waiting to hear a report back. It's been 6 years now, so, you know, one day I'm waiting to come across this family and, you know, look down and see this 5-year-old little boy that, you know, is just so blessed for me to be a part of their life, and just them not knowing how much my life has been blessed to be a part of something this big. And going back, it's just the essence of how much bigger it is than myself. You know, I'm just a Northampton County boy from Rich Square, you know. To be a part of something this massive is truly incredible.
Amen. Thank you, Austin. I'll let you. All right, now I want to introduce Will Pridgen, newlywed Pastor Will Pridgen. 1 week, one day.
1 week, one day.
And you survived.
I'm counting forever.
Okay. No bruises,
no
knife wounds.
No,
okay. Now, let me say about Austin, for him to go with me, because he was a minor, his parents had to sign custody over to me. And I don't take that kind of thing real lightly. But with Pastor Will, he was already of age, but I still had custody of him. And I was looking to draw the very most I could out of every young man that I've had this pleasure of. I did have others who were supposed, I was hoping was going to be here. They're not here this morning. But I'm going to let Pastor Will, he's going to share a scripture, and then he's going to tell you about a day in the marketplace in Kesey.
Oh, that was a great day. Praise God. I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit here. Me and my wife, I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this, we have a hot relationship. Now, let me explain that to you, because some of you might be saying a hot relationship. We're honest, we're open, and we're transparent. So today, that's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to be open, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to be transparent. So Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, and it goes down through 15. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." It goes on to say in verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the peace and who bring tidings of good things." So I wanted to share that with you because if you know any of my history, you know that I'm a PK. And that might be boggling for somebody, PK. So let me explain that. I'm a pastor's kid. And so when I had this preconceived idea that everybody knew Jesus the way I knew Jesus. And that just wasn't the case. I remember going to a small village in the Marah, and there was a lady there, and I said, "Hey, let me tell you about my friend Jesus." And she said, "Who?" I said, "Jesus, don't you know him?" And this lady was in her 40s or 50s, and she said, "I've never heard that name before." And it just, I couldn't believe that she had never heard that name, because I always grew up knowing Jesus. So we have preconceived ideas that we see all throughout in our Western society that are not really the case. That's just one instance. Let me share with you about Kesey. I want to share with you my imperfections. I told you I would be honest. So we're in Kesey, we're in the marketplace, and the marketplace works like this. You take one scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son." We all know that scripture. And you expound upon it a little bit, and you just show them God's love. And then you're able to pray for them. You'll see miracles happen. And once you get one miracle, you'll get another miracle and another miracle and another miracle and another miracle. And I think we had a crowd of 75 gathered when we were finished that day. But I remember being in the marketplace, and I had a scripture I was going to use. It was all keyed up in my mind, and I knew exactly what I was going to say. And when my interpreter, amen, praise God. And when my interpreter got a hold of what I was, got the crowd's attention, my mind went blank. And I'm standing there, I've got this crowd in front of me, and now I got to do something with them. And thank God for Pastor Matt Nichols. He was with me. He stepped on up in behind me, and he said, "This is what he's trying to say." And then he looks at me, and he says, "Now you do miracles." So even when I forgot my scripture I was going to use, God still came through. It doesn't matter about my imperfections and the things that I can't do. He will always come through and stay true to his word. Amen. Pastor.
Thank you. Okay, Aiden, step up here. Pastor Will went along with several others from New Vision Ministries with me to Narook first, then to Kesey, and then to Montanto in 2019. Austin was a part of the group that he was the first that I carried, and you were a part of the last that I was able to carry, because I did travel more that year, but in 2020, everybody knows what happened. So I have here some things I want to show you. First of all, this is an African soccer ball. I've had them made out of banana leaves. I've had them made out of T-shirt bags. I've had them made out of burlap bags. All kinds of things that they hand make these soccer balls. Aiden calls it what?
A garbage ball.
A garbage ball. Whatever they can find, they make a ball out of them. We give away mission balls. We have one outside on the table that you can see that has the gospel of Jesus, the Ten Commandments, and where we give those away. And I actually try to trade every now and then, bring me one of these home so I can show it to you. Here I have a Maasai sukkah. This is what men and wear. The Maasai tribe is a tribe of Africans that range from Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania in the Serengeti. They are herdsmen. They have goats and sheep, and they just roam around, follow the grassland. And a Maasai chief gave me this sukkah and adopted me as a son of the Maasai. Now, I've had others from other places and other things given to me, but the Maasai, to become a man, now they have relaxed this law a little bit, but to become a man, a Maasai must kill a lion with a club. And I got this Maasai club. You see it's got this little dimple, like this little spot, and this little protrusion there on the end. That's what they want to target to the head of the lion. Now, due to the lion population, the government has talked them out of taking that out of the manhood things. So no longer do they go, but for every little boy, he grows up chasing, hoping, throwing a stick, hoping to kill a lion and become a man. And so you see them carrying these. And only in Kenya, the only people who can carry a club or a knife are Maasai. Everybody else, it's illegal for them to carry a club. So we have to be careful we don't carry this in public, because you can be arrested for carrying it in public. So I put it in my suitcase to get it home. So 2 years ago, or 2 summers ago, Aiden came up to me. Aiden is my oldest grandson. He came to me and he said, "Pappy, I need a job." Now, when he decides that, this was not the first time, when he decides there's something he wants, he asks me for a job to earn money to do what he wants to do. And I think he's got a wonderful work ethic. He's got that imparted into him, and I'm sure that he'll do everything he ever wants to do because he knows how. So I asked him, "What do you want to do with the money that you earn from the job?" And what did you tell me?
"I want a passport."
He said he wanted a passport. And why did you tell me you wanted a passport?
To go to Africa.
And do what?
And preach.
He earned the money for the passport. And one day we were working, and a man stopped. He saw Aiden and I working. It was very hot, and he was carrying boards, trash, up a hill, and the man stopped and asked me about Aiden. How did I get him? How was it that he was outside working when most kids his age were sitting inside in front with video games? So I brought Aiden over to the car, and I told him to tell the man what he was working for, and he told him his passport, and he told him why he wanted it, just like he's told you. And what did the man do?
He gave me money for my passport.
His witness not only got money from that man, but from others. And even though he earned enough money, the Lord provided enough money for his passport from gifts from others. So, Austin was my first. Will was one of my last. And Aiden is my next. I told him that the year he turned 12, anytime after that, I would take him, as long as he got permission from Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad both have signed his passport application. It's all in the works. We're waiting for the passport, and we're waiting for permission, and we will travel, and he will preach in Africa. Amen? Thank you, gentlemen. Awesome. Here you go. Take that stuff from me. Y'all take that down from me, please. Hallelujah. I am a wealthy man. God has richly blessed me. Now, you heard Austin, first time ever, praying for people, and they're getting healed. And you heard Pastor Will say that he bumbled through a message, and people still got healed. I want you to watch two short videos. Listen very carefully, because to get the gist of everything that's happening, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to share the message with you.
Hello, everyone. I am Pastor Narciso Barrial of Punta Princesa, Cebu City. At present, I am doing church planting work somewhere at the Cebu South in Tingladilla. And my friend, Pastor Nestor Pagulba, invited me to this crusade. And during the last night of the crusade, I experienced a miracle. You know, as a Baptist, it is hard for me to believe a miracle. But then, when the woman, Anna, climbed up the stage, I helped her because she could not move. She was crippled. She cannot straighten his left arm. And it is hard for her to walk, because she was suffering a high blood pressure and got hospitalized from the high blood. But then I told her, you know, I am a Baptist and it is hard for me to believe a miracle, but now God is doing a miracle for you. So do you believe? And she said, yes. So she was saved, and by the glory of God and His power displayed on her, she was able to straighten her limb arm and straighten her hands also, and she could walk already without using crutches. So I really witnessed myself that miracle, and from that point on, I moved forward to commit in healing ministry. Thank you for the team of Pastor Peter Dusing, Pastor Philip, Pastor David, and Pastor Mark Blue, and the rest of the Pastor Matt Nichols, all of the members of the term team. I appreciate it that God sent you here in Cebu to help the people who really need help, especially to the sick people that has been healed. Thank you for the ministry, and I pray that someday we can go to any other places here in Cebu. Thank you for coming.
Isn't that a wonderful story? Here we have a pastor who came to our pastor's meetings every day and showed up for the teaching and heard what we had to share about how God still heals. And on the last night of the crusade, there was a woman suffering, and he had the opportunity to minister to her. And he was questioning still, but he had heard the word, and he put to practice exactly what the word said, and he prayed for her, and he witnessed her arm straighten out, her hand open up, and her to walk freely that she had not been able to do for a while. Now, he has a mighty testimony. His church will forever be changed. His ministry will forever be changed. Look at how God is going to use him even more, because he was here and you sent him. We thank you. Closer Walk Ministries loves you and appreciates everything you do. And this is what is being transformed when we travel to the nations around the world. God bless you.
Pastor Kim, this one. Mike, get ready to repeat it.
He's been a deaf mute all his life.
Stand right here, Mike.
After prayer, he began to speak for the very first time, and then he began to hear in one ear, and then in the next ear. He has been touched by God. He is no longer deaf mute. He is healed.
Mike, reinterpret what he just said, Mike.
This man was born deaf and mute.
Yeah.
And he received his voice before he received his hearing. I could hear him speak, but he couldn't hear it yet. And then the Lord opened one of his ears. And he could repeat what I said.
Oh, God, do it, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Then he opened the other ear.
Yes.
Now he hears clearly.
I spent that night on the floor of my hotel room. That man was 34 years old. And the first person in this on this earth that ever heard him speak was me. And the first voice he ever heard himself was mine. Let me tell you something. Dealing with deafness is very, very different in that it is hard. You can't produce any faith because they can't hear you. So you know you got to operate on your own. And then you got to realize that you're not dealing with a man, you're dealing with a devil. And you got to bring out the big club. And you got to stand on something that he knows absolutely nothing about. And I don't know why God healed him the way he did, but he gave him his voice first. And then he opened one ear. But then it took 15 or 20 minutes to get the second ear open. Because that devil just did not want to let loose. So there's some principles that I had to learn. Now, I don't know how well you could understand the preacher in the first video, but he was in our pastor's training every day, taking notes and asking questions and having discussions with me and with the other pastors after every meeting. He said in his own testimony that due to his theological training, he did not believe in miracles. Now, he told you what denomination he was a part of, but I don't want to offend anybody, so I'm not going to repeat it. But he did not believe in miracles. A woman felt a touch from God in a mass prayer and came forward. She was semi-paralyzed on her right side from a stroke. And she had diabetes. She felt the touch of God run through her body. And she wanted to go to the platform and testify. Well, he brought her up. And we qualify all the testimonies before we bring anybody up on the platform. And so they talked to one of our officials there, Brother Eric Smith, and he said, let's let the working of miracles take place. Take her back over the side. Keep her up here, and we'll see where she's at in 10 or 15 minutes. So when they got over the side, they waited for a little bit, and she asked this pastor, would he pray for her? He said, ma'am, due to my theological training, I don't believe in miracles, but I can see that you do. So we can pray. I don't have faith for miracles, but we can pray on your faith. And he began to pray for her, and she yelled and began to dance around. She was dragging her right foot, could not lift her right arm, and her mouth was dropped on her right side. All from a stroke that happened a few years earlier. Well, guess what? He believes in miracles today, no matter what his training is. Because she was fully healed. And he testified. He asked me, after we recorded this, he asked me, he said, do you think this is going to change my ministry? I said, yeah, they might kick you out. But you're on the right side. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of it because that's where I want to concentrate. The working of miracles. Let's back up to verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Can somebody say every man? That does not mean masculine. It means every human. For profit for everybody. Every man has the potential to do the working of miracles. Nobody believes me. Every man in this house, every man, woman, child, has a potential to do the working of miracles. Amen? I mean every man, every woman, even children. I've told you about these kids. Why in the world aren't we doing it? Why don't we do more? Let me give you some numbers. From 2015 to 2019, I saw a total number of people over 1 million in crusade meetings. In that same time frame, I've seen over 350,000 salvations. I've had the honor of training and teaching and speaking to over 11,000 pastors across the world. There have been over 172,000 children ministered to in the schools. We've helped build 5 children's homes and dug 10 freshwater wells. And here I am, a little country boy from Podunk, North Carolina, with no formal training, but just the Word of God, raised in a little Baptist church that nobody even knows where he is hardly. But I can tell you, we all are called to the field. I believe there's somebody here in this place today that God would have you go with me sometime. And I'm open to that. Now, with all these young men that I have had this opportunity to carry internationally, we took time. We took months, right? Am I right? We took months to prepare them for what they were going to see and got going to do. Right? We were in the Word, deep in the Word. I give them assignments every time we met to make sure that they were ready. And they've seen it all. They've seen it all. They've seen the most miraculous things you can ever imagine. I've seen children that were born without a skeleton receive one. I mean, I saw a little boy that was over 2 years old, born without a skeleton, spent every second of his life on his back, laid in a basket, because his mother could not hold him up. His windpipe would close, with his head would flop over, and he couldn't breathe. Spent his whole life looking up at the ceiling. And I saw that mother come to the platform after that child got healed and throw him up in the air about 7 or 8 feet in the air. I thought she was crazy. I thought child abuse was taking place. And she just pitched him up, and he just laughed and stretched his arms out. And then she stood him on his feet and walked away from him. He puts his hands on his hips, and when he just turned around and smiled, and he walked over to his mother. Never taken a step before and knew how to walk. God caught him up. God caught him up in an instant. Hallelujah, the Lord is good. The gifts, all the gifts operate through the Spirit by faith. All the gifts operate through the Spirit by faith. Some faith has to be exercised. I have actually seen people get healed on my faith. The problem with that is, can they keep it if they don't have faith of their own? Now, I know that plays with your theology, but how much faith did Lazarus have before Jesus called him forth? Right? Jesus operating on his own faith. Same thing with the deaf person. It's very difficult. You can't communicate. You know, I don't know what you saw this or not, but that guy was my interpreter. The guy that was on the right-hand side of the deaf man, he was my interpreter in the crowd. So, you know, he was everything I was saying in English, he was saying in Swahili. So I'm praying, and he's praying, telling this man what I'm praying in Swahili. And I'm thinking, he can't hear nothing. What difference does it make? He don't even know language anyhow. But he kept right on doing it in Swahili. So when I whispered in his ear, he said, Jesus. That's the first word that man said, was Jesus. And I had him counting and doing other things before I carried him up. But the other guy said, he said Jesus in Swahili, so the man was saying Swahili. And you heard the crowds. Now, they know this man. When this man came off the platform, there were thousands of people lined up to shake his hand and to get him to say their name. They didn't care about nothing else, but they wanted to hear him say their name. Everybody knew him. You see, what we do is we go into places and we ask God for a significant, undeniable miracle that when we leave, nobody can deny that God has touched that place. Because, you know, when I get away from people, it's easy for doubt to enter back in. And so we have to work through the faith that we have. You heard the pastor say, he told the woman if he didn't have any faith for healing, but because she had faith, they'd pray on her faith. So here we got the operation of these nine gifts, and we're talking about the working of miracles. And faith is a power that God has given us to produce the unseen. Faith, this power, gives us the ability to call things that be not as though they are. Amen? That's what it said about, Paul said about Abraham. Call things that were not into being. Miracles don't just happen. We are not waiting for God. If you're waiting for God for a miracle, you're backing up. God's waiting for you. We must renew our mind. Romans, I don't think I put that on my scripture, but let's look at Romans 12, 2. Let me read it real quick. If I can find it real quick. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We renew our mind so we can prove what God's perfect will is. You got the renewing of your mind is really what means is leaving behind what that mind already thinks and taking on what this says. That's how we renew our mind. It does not matter to me what I see. What matters to me is what's in the Word. Back to my notes. Once we renew our mind, we need to feel it. Once we, or our mind is changed by what the Word says. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word of God, right? We are meant that everything that God has spoken should take precedence over anything anybody has told us. We should think last about what we've heard from the world and first about what the Word says. So if you're not really intimately familiar with the Word, you can't replace anything. And it's important that you see it and read it for yourself and not just take my word for it. Because you won't be fully persuaded until it settles in your spirit. We need to be fully persuaded, absolutely convinced that what the Word said has more power than anything upon this earth. It is the most powerful thing, and our faith gives us access to this Word. The Word is our evidence. Now, we know that we can be, know the will of God, and then once we've replaced our carnal thinking, we need to learn to be patient, and we need to have a great deal of tenacity. And you're not being patient waiting for God, you're being patient to position yourself. And when patience wears thin, tenacity leaves. Now, I'm going to tell you that it does not get easier. It gets a little more difficult. Because the enemy now, well, I like to say it this way. There's no need to shoot a dead rabbit. If you're no danger to the enemy, he's not really going to come against you. But when you begin to take back territory he's stolen, now he's not happy. And he brings out the big guns. And we all need to be lion killers. because he's seeking to see whom he can devour. And you are on his list. When you've done all to stand, we stand. Stand firm. Get in faith and stay in faith. Now, I've got some instructions this morning. And I want you, and these are all scripture, I want you to read them as we put them up. I want everybody to read it. It's important that you get this in your spirit. Galatians 6:7. Matter of fact, let's all, this, I know this never works good, but let's do it anyhow. Let's read this together. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Everybody believe it. Well, let's talk about miracles. Who in this house would like to see a miracle? Raise your hand. If you would like to see a miracle, well, guess what? You need to sow one. Give and it'll be given unto you. Or is everybody catching what I'm saying? Ephesians 6:8. Let's read this one together. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Sow and reap. Whatever good thing. Let me tell you something. If you need a miracle, you need to be praying for somebody else to get a miracle. If you need healing in your body, you need to find somebody sick. Because whatsoever good thing you do for them, the Lord will do for you. Now, this is just simple for me, but I've been in it a long time. It's too simple, really. But we can sow and reap. Because if we read on in Galatians, it says, he that sows to the flesh will reap from that flesh condemnation. But he that sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit. And when we're looking and talking about miracles, we're talking about sowing in the Spirit. Amen? So, we need to be praying for somebody else so that we can receive. Let me put this in a physical, natural state. So, Bonnie and I were deep in debt, and I'm not going along into that, but one day I got this revelation about sowing and reaping, doing something for somebody else, and I said, you know, what I need to do is I need to sow some debt freedom. I wanted to harvest debt freedom, so I need to sow some. So I went in the office and I asked her, I said, who owes us any money? I think she thought I was like the unmerciful servant that went to find somebody else and throw them in jail or something. But I said, somebody's got to owe us something. She said, well, not really. I said, well, somebody's got to owe us something. She said, well, we got about a dozen return checks. I said, get them out. I'm going to forgive them all. And I wrote those folks a letter. And I asked them, I told them that I understood being in debt and having financial difficulty. And I was forgiving their debt. And if they came back and shopped with me again, I would act as if it never happened. I'd treat them like they were there for the first time. And I would never say anything. They didn't owe me the money. Didn't owe me the bank fees or anything. You are free. Well, none of them ever came back. But guess what? I got debt free. And have been that way for 20 years. Because I sowed what I wanted to reap. If you sow tomatoes, what are you going to pick? So if you want watermelons, you don't plant tomatoes. Y'all mighty quiet on me here. I hope we're together. Acts 4:29-31. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were, and when they had prayed, that place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness. Let me tell you something. Miracles, healings, signs and wonders do not confirm a man. They confirm the God we serve. I make just as many mistakes as anybody else does. I blunder and forget, fail to do what I'm supposed to do. But yet, God confirms His word. Can Jesus use a dirty vessel? Amen. He used me. He's humbled me. You have absolutely no excuse. Because you're not asking God to confirm who you are. You're asking Him to confirm who He is. That's what we're believing for. So is anybody here can do what I do? Because God is no respecter of persons. He has no favorites. Could it be possible? Could it really be possible? You know, long before I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was seeing miracles. I was just doing what James said do. Laying hands on the sick, asking in Jesus' name, and people were getting healed. You know, Jesus sent the disciples out to preach the gospel and do miracles. And the Holy Ghost had not yet been poured out. They went out with only the authority of the name. And that's really all it takes. Now, the Holy Ghost does help and does influence and can get you a whole lot further, a whole lot faster. But I'm telling you, you don't have to be no super saint or no expert in the Word. All you have to do is use your measure of faith. I don't have any more faith than anybody else does. God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. I'm using the same amount you do. I just might use mine more. I use it often. I use it at every opportunity because I expect it to work. I expect it to work. Now, we have been commissioned. I want to read you a couple more verses, and then we're going to pray. We're going to believe God for His mighty will to be done and Him to show Himself strong where we are right here today. Matthew, I don't think I gave these from put up, but anyhow, Matthew 10. Seven and eight. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Mark 3. Starting at 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that they might send him forth to preach and to have power to heal the sick and to cast out devils. Luke 9:2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Mark 16. starting with 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It don't say preachers. It don't say theologians. It don't say the well-experienced. It says they follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I think that's a guarantee. I think it's a guarantee. I think Jesus put his name on the line. He signed a check. What are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You know what I'm going to do with it. I hope you've seen how valuable I believe it is. But do you believe it's that valuable? Let me tell you something. My youngest one is upstairs in children's church. But 2 weeks ago, as a lady came in the restaurant where we were eating, and I went to talk to somebody else, and she came over to the table, and Keaton prayed for her. 9 years old. 9 years old. Does he believe it more than you do? She was in tears, and she said, I've never experienced anything like this before. It has been my rich blessing to see a vast array of different miracles. The only thing I've never seen is a leopard cleansed, because I've never run into a leopard, and I've never seen the dead raised. And I've asked Jesus to let me see the dead raised in the land of the living before I go to heaven. And coming upon a dead body is just another opportunity for me. I don't know where your faith is, but I believe this house is ready for miracles. I believe the stage has been set. We sing it every Sunday. Are we lying? Are we ready for miracles? Let's all stand. Worship team, ministry team, my two young men here, Aiden, y'all come on up. I want y'all to divide up and get with somebody with the ministry team. Y'all going to pray for people? You say right there, you going to lay hands on people and pray for people? Where's the ministry team? You know what the most difficult miracle it is for Satan to get from you? The one you fought for with your own faith. So, all we're doing is asking God to confirm his word. And his word has gone forth. I don't profess to be eloquent or intelligent, but I can read. And I know that miracles are in this house. And I know that his word releases miracles. Everywhere Jesus went, it says that he talked and people and he healed the sick. Everywhere he went. So the word has been taught this morning. So the healing power is present. That's all it takes. Healing power is present. Now we've got to get faith to attach upon it. We got ministry team members right up here that have faith. I don't think Pastor Wallace would have put them in the place they're in if they didn't have any faith. Now, the working of miracles is a process. I told you when I prayed for the deaf man, God gave him his voice before he gave him any hearing. Didn't make sense to me, but I don't care. Long as it works. And I think that was to keep my faith moving. Because the workings of working of miracles is not an instant thing. It's a process. Like Jesus put mud on one man's eyes and told him to go wash him. That's a process. And the working of miracles is you can activate a miracle by your faith, by you beginning the process. Now, the person receiving, if they receive any advance, if they can tell any difference, then it has already begun to work. The miracle is in the process. Then it becomes more their responsibility than it does yours. But then we become coaches and encouragers. Amen? So when we pray for people, we're looking to get some kind of results. I prayed for a man that was paralyzed for over 20 years from the neck down. They brought him in a white long stacking chair. Two men toted him in. And he just slumped over in the chair. And I began praying for him, and I got him to be able to raise his left arm over his head. Well, I had him knowing that something's happening. Then I could get him to make his right arm up. Then I could get him to pick his feet up. I got him to hold his head up. As I was praying for this man still sitting in a chair, I could feel the rain falling on my head. We were in Moa. But on a cloud in the sky, it was his grown son's tears as he was crying, seeing his dad do things he hadn't done in 20 years. It was a process. So we're asking God to begin something and then to complete the work of faith. So I invite you now, if you won't need something in your body, they're here. And if Will and Austin and Aiden, if you'll just join with somebody else that's a part of this team here and pray with them. But if you need it, come on. We're here. Come on forward. Anybody? Look at a miracle this morning. I don't know about you, but nothing scares me. If you need it, this is the place. Go ahead, Hayden. Lay hands on him and pray. Pray. Anybody else? I'm telling you, they're here. You can have one. I can promise you one thing. Nobody in this house believes in miracles more than I do. And I believe in yours. Lydia, you want to join? Now, those of you who've been prayed for and go back to your seat, let me tell you something. The job is yours now. I want you to be looking for a sign. Caleb is looking for a miracle there. Let's let Jesus give him one this morning. I want you to be looking for a sign in your body. I want you to look and see, can you do something you could not do before? And if you find yourself able to do something you've not done before, you will see and you will know that God has begun the working of miracles. And you're going to have to contend for your healing. You know what contending is, don't you? That's a boxing term. You're going to fight for it. Because the enemy will try to tell you, oh, that's just some hype or whatever. It doesn't really happen anymore. But we know different. Anybody else want to come forward? Y'all just stretch your hand out to Caleb over here. Believe for Caleb. I think Aiden's got a friend. Now, we also want all of you who have didn't need a miracle but want to see one, because the whole house raised your hand. I want you to pick some of these people to pray for, and I want you to not only just pray for them, but I want you to encourage them. You contact them throughout the week and let them know how much you do want to see them receive a miracle from God. You know, when I started traveling with the team that I travel with, the first night my theology got all messed up, because the pastor did a mass prayer. There were thousands of people there. Couldn't just lay hands on everybody. There were thousands of people there, and he did a mass prayer and called for those people to come forward and testify who had got healed, and they did. And then he gave an altar call for salvation. And I'm thinking, shouldn't that have been first? Jesus didn't do it that way. But we've been taught it has to be that way. But I've watched hundreds and thousands of people be in the testimony line where God healed, and then they give an altar call for salvation. They get out of the testimony line, go get in the salvation line. Because nothing says God loves you more than a miracle. Jesus said, so that you can believe that I have the ability to forgive sin, take up your mat and walk. A miracle is the proof that Jesus can forgive sin. It is not Jesus forgiving sins that produces miracles. We know that our sins can be forgiven by signs and wonders. And we're going to believe for them here in this house. And we're going to see them, right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love and your mercy. I thank you, Father, for your word and the power of your word. I thank you, Lord, for giving us all a measure of faith, and let us use that faith this morning. I thank you, Father, that you want to do something mighty. And you want to convince this town, this county, this region, that you are God. So let us be bold and speak your word and stand in faith by your word. And you confirm your word to the world, that more and more might be saved. Lord, we love you. We trust you. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Come on, do you appreciate the ministry of Pastor Mike? Let's give him a hand. Let's give God a hand for what he's done today. Pastor Mike is getting ready to go back out on the field. You've heard the testimonies. You've seen the incredible things that he's been doing, the way that he's even raising up other disciples and other ministers and bringing them onto the field. And we want to give you an opportunity to sow into that. And so we're going to show you a quick clip. You can be seated. We're going to show you a quick clip. Just take a look, and then we'll get ready to give. Go ahead and show that, please, Denise.
Hello, Pastor Wallace here. I'm excited for you guys today to peer into the heart of Pastor Mike Blow and hear his heart for missions and for the nations of the earth. Having known him for many, many years, I would have never thought that God would open doors that he's opened for Pastor Mike to hit the nations like he has all over the world, preaching the gospel, training Christian leaders, encouraging pastors, and being a part of the miraculous and the signs and wonders that God has wrought through the hands of Pastor Mike Blow. I'm excited for today. I'm excited for you to have an opportunity to invest in future trips that Closer Walk and Pastor Mike Blow will sponsor. Give liberally today. Ask the Holy Spirit what he would have you to do. And let's be a blessing to our own, Pastor Mike Blow, Closer Walk Ministries. God bless you.
So again, just if you can give through PushPay, the ushers are going to, or we're going to invite you to come forward and drop your offering in the bucket. If you want to give through PushPay, just use the gift/missions designation. And God bless you as you give. Thank you for joining us today. May God just continue to bless you throughout the week, and have a good day. God bless you.